That song's got the same tune or rhythm to, like the British song, right? Like the song when the Queen walks in the room. Isn't that kind of the same tune? Maybe that's just me. Welcome to your first week of 2023. I'm glad you all made it out this morning. We welcome those joining us on Facebook. This morning we'll talk a little bit about sticking with those resolutions in the coming year. My prayer for myself is that I can become more like Jesus, and in the same breath to become a better disciple. I pray for that quite a bit, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not really sure how you get there. I know that you have to allow God to work in my life, and I know that I'm partnering with Him in this endeavor, but how do I get to that point? You know, often lessons about becoming a better disciple focus on three areas: pray more, read your Bible more, and go to church more. I think, though, I can tell you that that's not really a tried and true method. That's not some magic potion that makes you a better disciple. Those are all very good things, things that we all should be doing on a consistent basis. However, there's more to it than just religious activities. It goes deeper than that. More spiritual activity doesn't typically produce the outcome that we're after, and therein lies the problem. We are often goal-oriented people when maybe we should be more system-oriented people. Back in 2003, the British Cycling Organization, which is the governing body of, guess what, British Cycling, that they hired a new man to oversee the performance development of the team. His name was David Brelsford. And David, he came up with a system that he called the aggregation of marginal gates. And that was his strategy. And his idea was that they were going to make small 1% improvements across the board, and that would lead to massive gains. They changed the seats on the bicycles to make them more comfortable. They began rubbing alcohol on the tires so they would get better grip. They changed the suits of the riders so they would be more aerodynamic and could provide biofeedback. They even painted the insides of the trailers that they hauled the bikes around pitch black so they could see any kind of specks of dust that might compromise the overall performance of the bike. Well, did it work? Well, before the changes that the British Cycling team made, they were at the very bottom, and they had spent a long time at the bottom. So much so that European bicycle manufacturing people, they wanted to stay away from the Brits. They asked them not to tell people that they were using their equipment. They didn't want to be associated with them. But Brelsford, once he took over and made those 1% changes, it changed everything. British Cycling dominated the road track events in the 2008 Olympics, where they won an impressive 60% of the gold medals. 4 years later, they set 9 Olympic records and 7 world records. That same year, Brad Wiggins would be the first British cyclist to ever win the Tour de France. Cyclists from Britain would go on to win 178 world championships from 2007 to 2017. 66 other Olympic and Paralympic gold medals were awarded, and they captured 5 Tour de France victories. Well, how did that happen? And it was by making small 1% improvements daily across the board. I think when it comes to being a better disciple, sometimes we overestimate the importance of one defining moment, while we underestimate the value of small daily improvements. All too often, we convince ourselves that tremendous change requires tremendous action. We put pressure on ourselves to make this massive improvement, and so we adjust our goals accordingly. But what so often happens is that our goal was so massive that we failed to reach it, and then we sort of feel like we failed because we think we have this lofty goal and we have to work really hard to obtain it, but then we realize after a while that goal was too lofty, and we fall short, and then we feel guilty. We put a lot of stock into one day. You go to bed on December 31st, and when it rises the next morning, a new year has dawned, signaling a new beginning and a new opportunity to live life differently,
A new year brings new dreams, new ideas, new hopes. And in making our New Year's resolution, we often focus on making our biggest dreams come true. We attempt to realize all of our hopes and dreams. And with the dawning of a new year comes the hope of a new me. And whether it be our health or our body image, our fitness, getting rid of certain habits, maybe improving certain relationships, whatever it may be, most of our New Year's resolutions focus on physical improvements. I think New Year's resolutions can be boiled down really to three categories: things that make us look better and live longer, things that make us have more, and things to help us get along with everyone else. Peace, prosperity, and longevity. These are the things that most of our resolutions center around. Most of our resolutions are about being new and improved. The problem with that is that we realize it may be a new year, but what is it? It's still the same old me. And one thing that we know about this same old me is that he's not very good with change. All of the excitement and giddiness that comes with the new year is soon replaced with the realization that we are unrealistic and we are undisciplined, and then we spend maybe the rest of the year feeling like a failure and dealing with guilt. Well, one writer said that the new year's resolutions can soon lead to new year's desolation. Maybe you feel the same way. What if we, instead of focusing on goals, we focused on systems? So we look at what Casey read earlier, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This is a worthy goal, a goal that all of us should set in our daily lives, but it's not a goal that you achieve overnight. This is not something that just magically happens at baptism. This is something that takes intentionality. This is something that won't be accomplished just by using goals-oriented approaches. Goals are about what you want to achieve, but there's a process that we have to engage in order to achieve those results. We call that a system. I can set a goal of making good grades, but the system I put in place is going to help me reach that goal. I have to study. I have to do my work. All of those types of things. I set the goal, but what makes the difference whether or not I achieve that goal is the system I put in place. I can set a goal to lose a certain amount of weight, but I won't reach that goal unless I have a process. The process has to contain eating the right food, putting in time exercising, all of those things. You can set a goal of making a certain amount of money, but again, in order to reach that goal, you're going to have to make some changes in the way things happen. Paul writes to the church in Galatians 2, that I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Results will have very little to do with the goals I set and almost everything to do with the systems I follow. I highly doubt that Paul reached the point where he had been crucified with Christ and that he no longer lived, but Christ lived in him. I doubt Paul reached there overnight. I would guarantee that was a process. Setting the goal and dying to self and having Christ in him was not something that he could accomplish just by sheer willpower or just mere religious activity. Paul identified with Christ, and that's the key. Who you are is going to affect what you do. So your identity is going to relate to your performance. There's a direct connection here. Who you are shapes what you do. If you're a coach, you might set the goal of winning the national championship, but the goal means nothing if you don't recruit the right players. if you don't implement the right strategy, if you don't put the time in at practice. You might, as a business person, set the goal of being a millionaire in a year's time, but you're going to have to focus on branding, on research and development, that the people you hire are going to make all the difference. The system that you put in place to reach the goal is going to make all the difference. If you're a musician and you want to play Carnegie Hall, the systems you put in place are going to help you reach that goal. You got to learn to read the notes. You got to practice daily. Goals are great and are good for setting direction, but systems are best for making progress. Well, we all know that winners and losers have the same goal. Most of the time, winners and losers have the same goal in mind. It's not like the British cycling team didn't want to win the Tour de France, right? They didn't win it for 100 years, but they wanted to win it every one of them years. Their goal was the same as everybody else, but they didn't have the system in place to achieve the goal. Winners and losers have the same goal. The system makes the difference. Another problem with goal setting is that goals only provide momentary change. As parents, we had or have a goal of our kids cleaning their room. And after some time, they may do that. But what happens in 2 days, 20 minutes, right? It's messy again. You can have the goal of cleaning your room, but if you don't change the system or your habits, it's just going to get dirty all over again. The goal doesn't mean a whole lot. You can achieve it, but you're going to be wrestling with it over and over and over again because you haven't ever dealt with the system or the habit that is the root of the problem. And until you do that, there's really never going to be any change. Achieving a goal only changes your life for a moment. And sometimes that's our problem with improvement. We tend to think if we change the results, this is going to change everything. But the results really aren't the problem. The systems are the problem. When you solve a problem only at the results level, you only make temporary changes. For lasting change, you have to address things at the system level. Fix the inputs and the outputs will fix themselves. Now that's going to conclude your TED Talk this morning. We're gonna go back to Scripture. Paul, we'll finish up in the book of Philippians. Paul writes in chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through the faith in Christ, the righteousness that from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Verse 12 says, "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So what was Paul's goal? Knowing Jesus, right? That's a worthy goal, a goal that we should all have. What is the goal of every Christian in this life? And it really isn't going to heaven. That's not the goal. The goal is to be like Christ. And if you make that your goal, the destination will never be in question. You don't have to worry about getting into heaven. But if you make the goal to be more like Jesus while you're here on earth, you may make a big difference in the world around you. And the destination will be there in the end. Paul had the goal of knowing Jesus. Well, how does he get there? Well, notice that Paul admits he's not there yet, which I find encouraging because I feel like I'm always taking two steps forward and about a dozen backwards. Maybe Paul in chapter 4, like he does in Paul 4, in chapter 4, when he talks about learning to be content in whatever circumstances he's in. That makes me feel better because he had to learn that. It didn't just happen overnight. He learned it by going through trials and tribulations. This is something that is learned and not achieved in one lesson. Paul understood that we all need to comprehend this, that being more like Jesus, it's an ongoing process of refinement and improvement. And we got a word for that, right? We call it sanctification. When you hear that word, it's simply the process when it comes to a Christian and their livelihood in being a better disciple. Well, one definition is the commitment to the process of refinement and improvement that is going to determine how far you get. Paul had a system for achieving his goal. And it's a system that looks like this: reliance on the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Dedication to the message and the mission in Romans chapter 1. Perseverance through trials in 2 Corinthians 11. And that we just read here, a singular focus in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. I like the original language here. In the Greek, that phrase, straining forward, it's a complicated Greek word that refers to a runner who's going all out for the finish line. It's a picture of a runner snapping that tape and falling over totally and completely exhausted because he has won the race. They have an eye, nothing for the goal. As Christians, we too should have tunnel vision. We have to see the finish line. Not that we don't notice other things around us, but we have to have our eyes on the prize. We can't lose sight of the goal. And so, again, what is that goal? To be more like Jesus. Well, how do we reach that goal? Through a system of discipline and effort and focus until the very end. Notice what Paul says in verse 16. He says, "Only let us hold true to what we have attained." Some translations say, "However, let us keep living by the same standard by which we have obtained." But Paul says it's a maintenance issue. It's about maintaining the standard. Again, it's an ongoing process, and as long as you have breath in your lungs, you're going to keep striving. And that's what you want. You want to die running. You want to die climbing. You never want to reach the goal where you set back and say, "I've made it." This is a continuous process. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about getting our minds right. He's talking about what's in your head. And then he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Again, you see the system there. You see the system and the goal in the same place. You can do a pretty basic study on Paul's writings, and you can see that he's setting forth the goal of being like Jesus, and he's setting forth the system of how to get there. And the system isn't just religious activities. That's important. But it's more than that. It's about identifying with Christ. It's about who you are in him. It's not about changing what you do. It's changing what you are. We want to change what we do and think, and that's going to make all the difference. But you have to change who you are. This is about transformation. This is about letting God work in and through you. This is about a system of progress that gets you to the goal, and the goal is being more like Jesus. We rely on him. We identify with him. Changing who you are will require changing what you do, right? When you change who you are, it's going to change the outcome. And if you change for the better, then we don't start with results. We start with our habits and our behaviors that bring about those results. Here's what tends to derail us with spiritual things. We tend to think in absolutes. We have two ends of the spectrum, and we only see ourselves on one end or the other. And most of the time, it's on this end. This end is a filthy rag, and on this other end is a beautiful white garment. And this is what we're moving towards, is that beautiful white garment. But most of us only see ourselves as that filthy rag. But understand that absolutes orient us. Use them to get your bearings. Most of us aren't at filthy rag. Most of us are moving from filthy rag to pristine white garments. So stop thinking that you're at one end or the other. Think more of that I am doing the things, I am implementing a system to get me to the point where one day the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. The absolutes are there to orient us. What matters most is not the distance that you cover over a record time. It's not about how long you've been a Christian. It's the direction in which you're heading. If it were freezing in here about 25 degrees and I had an ice cube up here on the pulpit, that ice cube would not be phased. If we were to go up to 29 degrees, 30 degrees, that ice cube's still going to be pretty comfortable. But once we get to 32 degrees, you're not going to notice much of a difference in being cold. But that ice cube's going to start sweating. It's going to have a little bit of water start pooling. That 1 degree is going to make all the difference in the world for that ice cube. I think we have to start believing that as a people. Instead of setting these massive goals in the new year, focus on tiny improvements and adjustment. 1% change. Think about how that changes you by the end of the year. If you make a 1% change every day by the end of the year, that's 37 times percent better than you are today. Imagine the opposite would be true as well. No changes or going backwards 1% would get you in the hole pretty quick. Now, I know we can't really measure these things with numbers and percentages, but I feel like 1% is pretty astronomical on some days. But I think you get the idea this morning. It's the small changes that we should focus on instead of the massive goals that we never really reach and then feel bad because we don't reach them. Forming these spiritual formations is a product of daily habits, not once-in-a-lifetime happenings. It's like a plane that takes off from Los Angeles to New York. If you make a variation in the flight by 3.5 degrees to the south, it's going to end up in Washington, D.C. Now 3.5 degrees doesn't seem all that much in Los Angeles when you're heading to New York. The passengers on the plane won't know a bit of difference, but you're going to end up 100 miles off course. A little change at takeoff makes all the difference. And it's the same with us. 1% may not seem that much, but over time, these choices determine where you are and where you could be. To make a difference, or to make no difference, or you're too small to make a difference, that's not true. It's those small daily rhythms that make all the difference. And so let's finish up in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We've said it before, spiritual growth is a process of letting God work in you. That's what Paul says. It's about allowing Jesus to live his life through you. God works in bringing the transformation of each individual that we so desperately need. And the Philippians were being transformed from the inside out. It says it is God who is at work in you. That's not some passive thing. I'm not trying to suggest to you that you can merit salvation or your place in heaven, but this is a partnering with God. If you're going to reach that goal of being more like Jesus in this life, then you're going to have to partner with Jesus. There's a co-opting going on here. This is a partnership. Some people read this verse and say, well, you have to work out your own salvation and I have to work out my own salvation, and that's just how it is. It's an individual thing, but that's not the context of Paul's words. Not in any way, shape, or form. Paul is saying it takes a village. Paul is saying it takes all of us as a team, united in a common effort to work out salvation. That we all need each other to get this done, to grow, to accomplish the goal. That's the system. The process of becoming more and more like Jesus is a cooperative effort. It's not just you and Jesus. It's also you and everybody else with Jesus. The Greek word here for work out means to labor or to toil to bring something to its completion or fulfillment. What Paul is saying here is that they must strive to work together to bring their salvation to completion or fulfillment. This is not just about me. we are all in with God and with each other. That is the system so we can reach our goal. We fear God. We revere Christ. We stand in awe of him because we love him. We fear disappointing him. He has given us a new name of Christian. Well, we don't want to do something to give him a black eye. We try to do what he commands us. This includes submitting to one another, stimulating one another to love and good deeds, bearing one another's burdens. Those things that Jesus said are traits of a true disciple. Transformation is all about relationship. It's not just as much about doing as it is being. Jesus talked a lot about abiding in John 15. A great passage that talks about relationships. What you do is based on what you are. We all have the same purpose. I hear a lot of people trying to find their purpose in life. That's easy. We don't always like it, but it's to glorify God. That's all of our purpose. Your purpose isn't to play ball or to make money. He only put you on earth to glorify him. Now, can you glorify God in your career? Absolutely, and I think that you should. But the purpose of life is to glorify God. That is the system that is put in place, to glorify God so that I can reach that destination. Maybe you're not on the road to that destination, that you've never put Christ on in baptism. This morning you have the opportunity to come forward and to confess your sins and to put Christ on in baptism. If you are a Christian and find yourself needing the prayers of this congregation or a need in some other way that needs publicly addressed, now would be an opportune time to come as together we stand and we sing.